In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, October 27, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Jesus Christ is still King of Kings. While the Liberal Party has taken control of Canada as of last week's election, setting records for the largest ever numerical increase of a party in Canadian political history. The Liberal Party increased by 148 seats over the previous election. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's agenda includes more environmental programs, more gun control measures, more welfare, and more deficit spending. The London Daily Mail reports that three Canadian men are planning on filing for a marriage license, which would result in them being, quote, equally bound and obligated to each other in the eyes of the law, unquote. The three men intend to father three children as well by perverted means. Revelation 17:1 says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.'" Denver baker Jack Phillips is appealing his case to the Colorado Supreme Court. Phillips is being forced to make cakes for homosexual weddings by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Gino Geraci, the Littleton, Colorado pastor for Jack Phillips, told The Worldview that this kind of persecution can be expected.
There are sacrifices that we make. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've had almost this exact same conversation with Jack, where he said, the Bible said the world should we should expect tribulation. He quoted the scripture, those who live godly in Christ Jesus can expect to experience what Jesus experienced.
If Jack Phillips loses his case, this will further threaten every Christian radio station, Christian accountant, Christian lawyer, and Christian businessman in America in future years. Mr. Phillips has been invited to the National Religious Liberties Conference to be held in Des Moines, Iowa on November 6th and 7th, with scores of others who have been persecuted for their Christian faith in America. Learn more at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. The National Abortion Federation wants a restraining order on freedom of speech for pro-lifers. GotNews.com released a video featuring an abortion doctor joking about a baby's eyeball falling into her lap. The speaker was Dr. Uta Landy, former director of Planned Parenthood California, who was addressing a National Abortion Federation meeting in 2014. In God's providence, a severe earthquake at the Afghani-Pakistani border yesterday, registering 7.5 on the Richter scale. At least 250 souls were ushered into eternity. The state of Texas's Health and Human Services Department has paid a surprise visit to 12 Planned Parenthood facilities as part of an investigation on the business practices of the abortion enterprise. This follows the allegations that Planned Parenthood has conducted illegal trafficking of baby body parts. Governor Greg Abbott has announced that Texas will end Planned Parenthood's participation in Medicaid in the state. The governor released a statement in which he announced that, quote, "The gruesome harvesting of baby body parts by Planned Parenthood will not be allowed in Texas, and the barbaric practice must be brought to an end," unquote. The ACLJ has announced a lawsuit intended to halt a California law that requires pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion as part of their practices. In a recent statement, Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow called this an unconstitutional abridgment of free speech. Another Christian legal defense organization is taking the Obama administration to court for one more round with Obamacare. The Pacific Legal Foundation claims that the Affordable Care Act, declared by the Supreme Court as a tax increase, originated in the Senate. Article 1, Section 7 of the U.S. Constitution reads, "All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives." The Oklahoma suspect who mowed down 47 people with their automobile at a homecoming parade last weekend is facing charges of second-degree murder. Adesha Chambers' father claims she spent time in a mental hospital. She has admitted she was suicidal at the time of the incident. 4 are dead and 19 remain in the hospital at this time. In gross negligence cases, God's law requires severe justice. But if the ox has been accustomed to gore in the past, and its owner has been warned but has not kept it in, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. The Chinese are buying American oil fields. The U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment has approved a $1.3 billion sale of Texas oil fields in Howard and Borden counties, according to CNN Money. A Turkish fisherman rescued an 18-month-old baby from the waters of the Aegean Sea last week, and the dramatic video is now available online. At first, the child was unresponsive, but after removing water from his lungs, the child came to and was reunited with his mother. She told the fisherman, "You both gave him a second life. We are grateful to you. May God bless you." And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, October 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Today I'm a homeschool father of 5, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the breakdown of Western civilization, the disintegration of the American Republic, and we believe there's a shot for faith, family, and freedom, and that's why we broadcast from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, fighting back from a bit of oblivion, but that's the way freedom has always survived. I just finished a book called Freedom, now available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com, and the whole point of the book is that, man alive, there have been points in time at which freedom was very much threatened, and yet a few good folks fought back from oblivion and accomplished some amazing things, and that's why the Bill of Rights, that's why the Magna Carta 800 years ago, that's why the independence for Scotland, for Netherlands, and for the United States over the last 800 years, that's the only way in which freedom has survived. It's by way of very small minorities engaging the good fight for freedom and doing so by way of the local magistrates and the lower magistrates. All right, get my book Freedom at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Today, Bill Jack in studio today as we review what's going on with the increasing attacks on freedom. And I don't know if you saw this, Bill, but the New Americans come out with an article about the new czar appointed by President Barack Obama. And he's a terror czar. Now, I don't know if that means he's a terrorist himself.
That's what I was wondering.
And it looks that way, doesn't it? He's called a new terror czar, and his target is, guess what? Conservatives and Christians. That according to this article in the New American. The Obama administration's increasingly controversial Justice Department, in partnership with the ultra-leftist Southern Poverty Law Center, announced the creation of a new czar position to focus on domestic terrorism, especially the alleged threat from Christians and Americans with anti-government views. While ostensibly created to serve as coordination office overseeing domestic terror cases, critics and analysts are sounding the alarm, warning that the administration is plotting to go after its political opponents with the full force of the federal government. Sounds a little bit like the Banana Republics, doesn't it?
It does. And I can say that I've experienced that firsthand. At our fall camp down in Texas, the University of Texas, we always take our students out and have them go to UT on the Free Speech Mall. This is ironic. Mm-hmm. They do have a Free Speech Mall.
But it's not very free.
No, no, because as soon as our students show up, now these are high school students. They don't look any different than the college students who are there already. They're not wearing all the same color shirt. They're not carrying signs. They're just out talking to people. But within 10 minutes of us appearing on campus, some administrators, some bureaucrat will come out and say, you can't be here. Now, this is a publicly funded, tax-funded institution. It is an open campus. But they're saying you can't talk to students. You can't proselytize on campus. And they refer to a policy. Well, I've read their policy, and that's not the way it is. But the Texas legislature has granted the regents of UT the right to run their own rules, to run their own ship. And This is concerning, because if Christians are not allowed to speak on a free speech mall, then we've got some serious problems. This has happened the past 3 years, and they have been extremely adamant about saying you can't be here.
As I recall, Peter and John had a hard time on the free speech mall down in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
In AD 33.
Yep.
They had a little pushback from the Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the kind of thing happening today. They're trying to press Christians back into the closet where they belong.
This is the Pharisees' tactic every time. And,
yeah.
And this terror czar, I think what they're going to use is the situation in Oregon, where you had the shooter in Oregon. They're going to use that to clamp down on free speech on college campuses, as they have done effectively on the high school campuses.
All right, back to the New American article. The announcement of a new domestic extremism czar position was made at George Washington University by Obama's Assistant Attorney General for National Security, George Carlin. He's a Harvard lawyer. He said, we need to make sure we have the mechanisms in place so that we can continue to remain just as focused on the domestic terrorism threat while addressing the international terrorism threat as well. The new DT Council will not only help ensure the DT cases are properly coordinated but will also play a key role in our headquarters level efforts to identify trends to help shape our strategy to analyze legal gaps or enhancements required to ensure we can combat these threats.
Now, what are the threats? What are the threats? They don't outline what the threats are. They just make these broad assertions, and then underneath that will fall all kinds of things that can be labeled threats, and that is, if I speak loudly, publicly, that will be considered a threat. If I say words that are politically incorrect, like the J word, reverently.
Well, Carlin also referred to a study that apparently has been debunked, claiming that alleged right-wing extremists, apparently hiding under every bed, have become a bigger threat to America than Islamic terrorists, many of whom have been armed and openly supported by the Obama administration, prompting even a retired U.S. generals to argue that Obama had switched sides in the terror war. The propaganda study in question, produced by the statist George Soros-funded New America Foundation, which, by the way, also supports Right Wing Watch, which always goes after us, this radio program, as well as just about every conservative Christian American you can imagine. This particular study has been widely ridiculed as a pathetic attempt at propaganda on par with Obama administration efforts to demonize conservatives, libertarians, Ron Paul supporters, veterans, pro-life activists, liberty lovers, and more as potential terrorists and extremists in various official reports. A recent article on Obama's new czar hunting right-wing extremists by Leo Homan at WorldNet Daily, for example, pointed out that the New America study cited a mentally ill, drug-abusing, anti-Christian terrorist motivated by National Socialism as an example of right-wing terrorism. Now, let's be very clear about this. They go after the National Socialists, the Nazis, and claim them to be right-wing activists.
Yes.
And by the way, conservatives and Christians, at least if they submit themselves to a biblical worldwide view, are utterly opposed to National Socialism as well as International Socialism. From our perspective, there aren't two worldview perspectives, international socialism and national socialism. There is effectively three, I guess, international and national socialism, and then those of us who believe in freedom from socialism or big government socialism as supported by Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Karl Marx. Well, of course, that's not considered an option in some of these studies because they're ignorant enough that they don't understand that there is such a perspective as limited government, which government has very, very limited purview compared to those in the Nazi Party and those in the International Socialist Parties, ergo the Republicans and Democrats, that constantly tout socialism as the answer to America's problems. Anyway, so this report that is being touted by the Obama administration and by the new Obama czar that is hunting out right-wing extremists, this study focuses in on National Socialists or Nazis and equates them to Christians. Other alleged examples of right-wing terrorism include a 2004 bank robbery, an armed home robbery in 2009, a few non-political shootings of police. In all, the study managed to find or invent 48 victims of right-wing terrorism since the September 11th attacks that killed 3,000 Americans. Again, there are efforts on the part of the propagandizing machine, 1984 Orwellian machine, to produce a witch hunt against Christians, against Catholics, against Orthodox Jews as religious extremists in the same category with Hamas and Al-Qaeda. Just last week, Obama and the United Nations launched a global jihad against extremism, promising to stamp out anti-Muslim bigotry, as if that was the major problem confronting the world. Ergo, what they're saying is, we're on the side of the Muslims. We take the side of Islamic Muslim jihad, but our real focus here is going to be to find every Christian in America that brings out the Word of God and addresses the problems, the worldview problems that exist in Washington, D.C., and in our public schools today, that it's slowly but surely undermining a biblical world and life view and creating a 1984 totalitarian regime in the United States. Anybody that opposes the fact that American governments have increased from taking 8% of the gross national income in taxation to 45% of the gross national income in taxation over a period of 75 years. Anybody that opposes that trend will be rooted out and will be targeted as right-wing extremists that oppose totalitarian governments. These are the enemies of the modern state. Sounds a lot like 1984. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also in studio.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. We take a look at the new terror czar that is targeting conservatives and Christians in America, and doing so primarily through a disinformation campaign. Aligning Christians to Nazis, that's the first thing that you do. And we've seen that, actually. That's been very, very common over the last 10 or 15 years. You've got to find a way to marginalize Christians and anybody who stands for that which is right. The Nazis did it. The Soviets did it. And that's how they began to move the population against the Jews and against the Christians. And that's the kind of thing that the Obama administration appears to be doing now.
You know, when you mentioned the Nazis and the Soviets, during World War II, the Pope at the time, I think it was Pope Pius, sought ways to save the Jews. He opposed Hitler. But after the war, it's interesting, the Soviets used a disinformation campaign. They did a revisionist history campaign where they suddenly and slowly persuaded people that the Pope at the time was Hitler's Pope, that he was working with Hitler to destroy the Jews, and therefore they discredited that aspect. So it is a very common tactic by the communists, by the socialists, to try to rewrite history, to put out a disinformation campaign, and that's why you're seeing Christians being labeled as terrorists. That's why you're seeing Nazis being equated with Christians, so that it confuses people as to what Christianity is in the culture and how Christians really act in the culture. And that's the way it's always been. It's a great disinformation campaign. It's a very subtle campaign, but it's very effective to persuade the public, to confuse the public.
The target is Christians today. The target is any evangelical Christian that stands against the agenda towards more socialism and the corruption of sexuality in this country. And I think Obergefell is one of the prime examples of how our government is targeting Christians and will target Christians. Remember what Justice Scalia said in the dissent that he wrote on Obergefell. This decision is intended to wipe out, quote, all dissent. This decision is intended to wipe out all dissent. And who in the world would dissent with the majority opinion on homosexual marriage? Might it be anybody with still some common sense left or some halfway decent morality or something of a Christian world and life view background? Yes. Yes. The Obergefell decision intended to wipe out all dissent. And, of course, Justice Roberts also said this will be no comfort to religious peoples. This majority opinion offers no comfort, no qualifications that might serve as any comfort for religious peoples. That was the dissenting justices, friends. And I'm thankful now that we've got a couple of articles, one out of WorldNet Daily, a couple other places, in which we're finding that legal scholars are by the dozens resisting the marriage ruling from Obergefell and telling the lower magistrates to do just that. Now, this will be a major theme in the Freedom Conference that we are sponsoring coming up in just a couple of weeks in Des Moines, Iowa. If you haven't registered yet, it's freedom2015.org. Register now. We're looking at least 2,000. That's our goal. 2,000 people coming to this conference, and we've got to bring at least 2,000 in order to make a major impact on this nation, at least on the 2016 elections, the caucuses, the primaries coming up in just a couple of weeks, just a couple of months, friends. Hey, this is the time to strike while the iron's hot. I know many of you lack courage. Many of you are scared. Many of you are running for the hills. But friends, hopefully by God's grace, you will assume some courage between now and November 6th and 7th. At least the courage to attend a conference and meet some of the presidentials. We're expecting a couple of the presidentials to show up at the conference. They have confirmed.
And they can meet you.
And they could, yeah.
And they can meet me.
Yeah, they can. And folks, those of you listening, you can meet these candidates running for president of the United States and make a point for religious liberties. It's time to do this. And also, we're going to make a major point that it is the lower magistrates that must assume the courage to stand against the tyranny that's coming down from Washington, D.C. Now is the time to take the stand and to encourage the lower magistrates. I'm talking about governors. I'm talking about state representatives and senators. I'm talking about lower magistrates like Kim Davis. Now's the time for thousands of you to come down to this conference if you've got the courage, if you've got the faith, to take a stand right now against the tyranny that is imposed upon us by Obergefell. And I'm telling you, friends, dissenting justices of the United States Supreme Court are backing you and backing me on this.
I think their dissent was a call for the states to stand up.
Absolutely.
and say, we are not abiding by this unconstitutional, immoral
Absolutely.
Law.
Absolutely. They're just looking for a few courageous men and women willing to take the stand. Now's the time for courage. And I'm so thankful now, 60 legal scholars from some of the most prestigious law universities in the country are taking a stand as well and saying it is time now to resist the Supreme Court of the United States. Now's the time to assume the courage to take the stand against the Supreme Court of the United States. Yes, the highest law of the land. No, wait. It's not the highest law of the land.
No.
God is the highest law of the land. And the Constitution of the United States is a higher law than the Supreme Court of the United States. And that's why 60 of the top legal scholars from the likes of Washington and Lee University, Boston College, Kansas State, Notre Dame, University of Texas, Villanova, Vanderbilt, Hillsdale,
Michigan State University,
University of Nebraska, Regent,
Hillsdale.
Yeah. Here's what they say. We call on all federal and state office holders. Here it is. To refuse to accept Obergefell as binding precedent for all but the specific plaintiffs in that case. to recognize the authority of states to define marriage and the right of federal and state office holders to act in accordance with these definitions. To pledge full and mutual legal and political assistance to anyone who refuses to follow Obergefell for constitutionally protected reasons, that is, people like Kim Davis. To open forthwith a broad and honest conversation on the means by which Americans may constitutionally resist and overturn the judicial usurpations evidenced in Obergefell. To treat as settled and the law of the land the decision of five Supreme Court justices who, by their own admission, can find no warrant for their ruling in the text, logic, structure, or original understanding of the Constitution would indeed be to resign our government into the hands of that eminent tribunal. That is something that no citizen or statesman who wishes to sustain the great experiment in ordered liberty bequeathed to us by our founding fathers should be willing to do.
That's pretty powerful. I mean, that's a powerful statement. And what they're doing is they're calling on Americans to stand up and resist tyranny at the judicial level, at the highest judicial level. And I think that this is a watershed moment for us specifically as Christians to do just that. We must stand and speak. We must stand and act. We've come to the point of where Martin Luther was at the time, and we stand here and we can do no more.
And I know it takes courage to do this. And I know Americans lack courage. Many lack the courage to even show up at a conference in which some of these things are discussed. And of course, many of our leaders lack the courage to stand up against the Supreme Court of the United States. But friends, it's always, always been the lower magistrates who had the courage to stand for the laws of God and the constitutions of the land that stood against great and powerful kings and federal governments that were usurping the God-given rights as established by the laws of God for the citizens in the land. And do remember that I referred to this in a program a couple of weeks ago. Matt Staver from Liberty Council pointed out that there is existing precedent for states' courts to resist, to reject an unlawful mandate from the U.S. Supreme Court, referring to the Wisconsin handling of the Dred Scott decision back in the 1850s. So I'm thankful that Matt Staver has made this point. The hope of our constitutional republic rests upon state officials and American citizens who will refuse to allow five black-robed judges to rob us of our free and representative form of government. Good words from Matt Staver as well. Friends, we're talking about 60 legal scholars in America with the guts to stand up against the legal tyranny that is imposed upon all 50 states by the Supreme Court of the United States. It's time to take a stand. That's why this conference coming up November 6th and 7th in Des Moines, Iowa. And it's taken a bit of faith to even pull off a conference like this against all forces, whether spiritual or physical. But we have established the conference, and we have some of the greatest speakers, some of the best attorneys, some of the very best of the legal scholars across this country to equip Christians, especially to stand against the tyranny, the persecution that is likely to come. We're going to address this thing from the perspective of state governments. We're going to address this from the perspective of individual Christians who will suffer persecution. We're going to address this from the perspective of local magistrates that have a responsibility to stand against higher magistrates concerning these sorts of tyrannical impositions.
And the individual matters. One of the sessions I'm doing there is on students' liberties on the high school and college campuses. And I'm very concerned about this because I think that our students are ignorant of their liberties and how to exercise their liberties. Youth pastors have not been trained how to equip students. And I put the blame not on youth pastors, not on students, but on the seminaries who are saying to their youth pastors, you know, you just don't need to worry about these things. You just need to worry about your students and keeping them safe from sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of thing. Are the parents who are saying this? And I'm saying it's time for churches to wake up and raise up a generation who are willing to stand and speak in the face of extreme opposition.
We can't just be on the defensive.
No, we have to go on the offensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly the perspective taken by Peter, Paul, and John and James
yep.
in the early church. They would not be thwarted in their attempts to preach the gospel on the streets, in the synagogues, at the temple, right in front of the Sanhedrin. They were willing to take the chances and take the gospel outside of the church walls. And that's what you've done many times with Worldview Academy. I appreciate that, Bill. And you're bringing that message to this conference as well in Des Moines, Iowa. And friends, there's so much more to talk about. We have the persecution panel. We've got presidentials attending. We've got a lot of things happening. A lot of different perspective will be discussed. But the most important thing is we're going to bring a biblical perspective concerning civil government and religious liberties to bear. And you will be equipped to take on a rather difficult and challenging time that will face the American church in the upcoming years. 35 million evangelicals need to be educated on these issues, and especially as we approach the 2016 elections, they need to be prepared to vote on issues like this. This is a critical issue. I will say it is the critical issue for the 2016 elections. It will be religious liberties for Christian accountants, Christian lawyers, Christian landlords, Christian businessmen, Christian bakeries, Christian statesmen, Christian chaplains, and Christian pastors. Friends, we're looking at the real possibility of pastors going to jail and Christian businessmen being fined hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, and Christian employees losing their jobs wholesale over the next 5 years.
Hey, have you invited the terrorism czar?
No, he's not. He has not been invited.
No, just send him and reach out to
we've
him.
Invented,
Come on, reach out to
we've
him.
We've invited all the presidential candidates, Democrat yeah. and Republican. We did get one candidate sent us a definitive, I'm not coming, and that was the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Oh. But she's probably busy with the having to speak at the Senate hearing on Benghazi.
Yeah.
Because that may drag on until that time, you know?
No doubt. All right. Well, friends, again, to sign up for the conference, freedom2015.org. This is about your last chance to make your plans for this conference. It's a Friday-Saturday conference, November 6th and 7th. And again, to sign up, freedom2015.org. If you can't afford the $69, $79 to sign up for the conference, simply email me at host@kevinswanson.com. We will find a way. We will make a way for you to come to this conference. Again, it's freedom2015.org or email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com if you want to be at this conference, November 6th and 7th. One of the most historic conferences in the history of this country following the Obergefell decision that declared open season on the persecution of Christians by way of legal attacks all across this country. If you want to be at this conference, we will find a way for you to be there. Freedom2015.org or email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. Inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.